All right, City Council come back from its recess. And Sue, I have a big task for you today. Can you please read all the titles encompassed in agenda items 725 to 732?
725, acknowledge potential modifications to the approved FY 2012-2013 streetcar operations and maintenance budget and direct various implementation actions to increase revenues and ridership. 726, amend contract with TriMet to fund the operations and maintenance of the Portland streetcar system. 727, amend contract with TriMet for certain contract employees for Portland streetcar. 728, amend the contract with TriMet for other services as needed for the operations and maintenance of the Portland streetcar system. 729, authorize the purchase of streetcar fare collection system and service contract from Parkion, Inc. 730, authorize tax-exempt installment purchase through Key Government Finance, Inc. for the purchase of streetcar fare collection system from Parkion, Inc. 731, amend contract with Portland Streetcar, Inc. for Portland Streetcar Operations Assistance. 732, amend intergovernmental agreement with Oregon Department of Transportation for the dispersal of lottery-backed bond proceeds for the purchase of streetcar vehicles.
All right. Pleased to have the City Council consider this package of items that get us ready for the grand opening of the Portland Streetcar Loop project on September 22nd, 2012. This has been, given the strings attached to federal funding, given that we have a private LID, so private parties are paying for part of this. This City Council has supported the creation of a new industry in the region with cars being awarded, contracts for cars to be built locally with with United Streetcar. We've had construction on the Broadway Bridge, which is a county-owned facility. We've had to bridge over railroad tracks to the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry. We've sought to simplify every opportunity that we can. The civil construction, as I have been told, is 99.65% complete. I don't know where you get the 6.5. Is that like thermoplasty on a crosswalk? The 6.5. But civil construction is 99.65% complete, and we'll finish the project within the approved budget of $148,272,823. So, and the majority of the items today, however, are preparing, as I mentioned, for startup. And I'd like to introduce the vice chair of Portland Streetcar, Inc., who has been instrumental in helping us get millions and millions of dollars from the private sector with support in our ability to move forward on LIDs, local improvement districts, which are taxes, special fees or taxes on those that benefit directly from the streetcar. So I'm very pleased today to thank and to introduce Dick Cooley.
Thank you. I'm an East Side property owner and real estate developer. I became involved in streetcar in 2002 when then Commissioner Francesconi invited me to serve on the East Side Steering Committee to recommend an alignment and to assess public support for the streetcar service to the East Side. I'm very proud to say, after 10 years, that we're about to start operating the Portland Streetcar Loop project. PSI, the board, Portland Streetcar Inc., plays a unique role in the city, providing a link between private business, public and private institutions, the City of Portland, and TriMet to help meet the ambitious development goals and the enormous transit challenges of Portland. We're able, I think, with our partners to think out of the box and act out of the box. I think those qualities are evident in the way streetcars built, and operated and maintained today. And these qualities are particularly evident in matters you are presented to you today, and particularly in Resolution 725. PSI, the board, undertook to sell unsold energy tax credits to help the streetcar operations. We sold those credits in the business community and many to members of our own board who stepped up to help. So I think I encourage you to approve the resolutions before you today, and I'm going to ask Vicki to explain to you the details of that.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Vicki?
The first resolution asks Council to acknowledge the potential modification to the adopted FY12-13 budget, streetcar budget, and direct various implementation actions to increase revenues and ridership. What we will be doing is we're coming back during the fall budgeting monitoring process to recognize some of these things that we're talking today once they come to fruition. The current adopted FY12-13 streetcar O&M budget totals about $8.15 million, and that's about $1.2 million lower than we anticipated that we would have, and that time frame was in 2007 when we submitted a project development application to the Federal Transit Administration. And that the assumption at that point in time is that we would have service on both the east and the west sides of the river about every 12 to 15 minutes. The current budget supports a 10-train operation, which requires 36 operators, and we have a frequency of about 17 to 18 minutes between streetcars. So the PBOT management and the staff and the Portland Streetcar Inc. members and the board and their consultants have been concerned about this service level that it could adversely impact the public's first impression of the Loop project. But we also recognize the economic impact on the budgets of both not only the city but also TriMet, who also participates in the funding of this project. So between the time we developed and submitted the FY12-13 budget and now, city staff and PSI have focused on several actions to increase revenues and to improve efficiencies. The four main ones are the sale of the business energy tax credits, or known as BETCs, that the streetcar system has earned in the past because of our use of electrical propulsion to run the streetcars. Secondly, we've looked at increased fares and enforcement, especially with the end of the free rail zone on September 1st. We've looked at changes to the organizational structure and how we operate, and we continue to look at our evolving relationship with TriMet and its continued financial participation and support. First of all, the BESIs. The current budget assumes that the city will receive $500,000 from BETC proceeds in FY12-13. There is an additional $750,000 of BETCs available. So as mentioned by Dick, the PSI board has been working diligently to sell these credits, and they're doing this without taking any markup or adding any or receiving any commissions. And so far, of that 1,250 total in BETCs, they have received commitments for $990,000. So we would ask Council to recognize the work that PSI has done to increase the revenues to the project through the BETCs credits and to encourage a continued effort to sell the balance of them. We would also ask Council to direct PBOT to use the added BETCs revenue to add operators so that we can increase the number of trains and operations and the service frequencies when we start this September. And we would like to add those operators based on the and the trade based on the commitments that PSI has received for the sale of the Betsy's, with the understanding that at the fall budget monitoring process, there will be a very thorough review of the budget, and adjustments will be made, either by increasing the annual budget or by reducing service, which we would do by decreasing the number of streetcar operators and a train. So the net effect of all of this on startup is that currently we have money to run a 10 train operation with 36 operators. The service on the east side would be every 18 minutes with 17 minutes on the west side. Now, because the two lines overlap, that between the Pearl District and Southwest 10th and Market, we would have services in the 8 to 9 minute range. And that's a really a heavy demand in that area. If we add the Betsy credits into the budget and we can increase it to an 11 train operation, we would need 38 operators. We would still have 18-minute service on the east side, but we'd have 14-minute service on the west side. Ideally, to get to 15-minute service, we need to run 12 trains and use 41 operators. But that is for another conversation. Secondly, increasing the fares and the enforcement, the FY12-13 budget assumes that fares and annual passes will increase because of TriMet eliminating the free rail zone, which will also apply to streetcar, and because of the expansion to the east side. And in order to be successful, we need to do three things, I think. One is that we need to prepare our riders for this change in policy, which we've gone through a very extensive public involvement process. Two, we need to provide an easy way for them to buy the tickets. And Art is going to talk about the cashless ticket machines. And three, we need to enforce that fare policy. Within the budget, we have two fare surveyor positions. And these positions will provide both education and enforcement. So we are seeking council support to buy the cashless ticket vending machines. Today, they will be placed on both existing platforms and the new platforms as a result of the Loop Project. But we also recognize that we have a goodly number of riders who only use the streetcar. So we will be offering a $1 streetcar-only circulator fare, which will be valid for 2 hours. It will not be transferable to TriMet system, but it can be used for those 2 hours on the streetcar. We are continuing the sales of the annual passes. We are increasing the rates from $100 a year to $150 a year. But for some perspective, TriMet's adult annual pass the cost to the consumer are $1,100. Now, those are very different systems, of course, but we think that between the circulator fare and the annual passes that we can continue to serve those of our customers. The third thing that we've looked at is the organizational change, and we are proposing that the two existing full-time and up to two new administrative staff become employees of Portland Streetcar, Inc., instead of being subcontractors, which saves us a fair amount of money in overhead costs. Also, we intend to replace, through attrition, the TriMet contracted superintendents with city-employed supervisors. Those are similar positions, and they just have different names to delineate between city employees and TriMet employees. Lastly, we're looking at two new agreements with TriMet that will further define our relationship between the two organizations. There is both a master agreement and an operations agreement that will be coming to the council on July 25th. The master agreement sets out a longer-term collaborative agreement regarding both streetcar service and its future development, and it puts in place a more rigid management structure. And the operating agreement will update and succeed the three existing agreements between city and TriMet that are in a place right now that we commonly call the funding agreement, the personnel agreement, and the other services agreement. And then lastly, on the resolution, Exhibit B shows a number of other different items that both the city staff and PSI will continue to pursue over this next fiscal year. So we are serious about
In terms of revenue.
Exactly. The resolution's probably the most complicated of the topics today, so I'd be happy to answer questions now, or we can wait until we get to the end of all of the items. It's your choice.
Thank you.
We'll do it now.
I have some questions.
Yeah.
On the business energy tax credits, the BETCs, in the past we've used those for funding student bus passes. Mm-hmm. How was the decision? First of all, I'm wondering whether we have a plan for funding student bus passes next year, and then second of all, how was the decision made to allocate it to this project?
The BETCs credits were earned because of the streetcars operation, and therefore we felt it was only fair that we kept the revenue from that within the streetcar operation. If
so
we were running
different BETCs credits.
Right.
Okay. And that's because the streetcars can considered energy efficient transportation.
It's actually
that's
Blue Sky Power.
All right.
Green power operator.
Both of them.
Are you in discussions with Travel Portland regarding the convention center visitors and continuing to honor our commitment to provide passes for them?
Absolutely.
And what's the status of that?
There was a meeting last week to discuss that, or even earlier this week. So the conversation is still underway. I don't think there's a full resolution at this point yet. But there's certainly support from the city to find a good solution.
The issue, particularly for Commissioner Saltzman and I, who serve on the Visitor Development Fund Board, we make promises to conventions that when they agree to come to Portland that there will be certain services. So one of those is the transportation by rail from the downtown hotels.
One of the key priorities certainly for us has been to ensure that the streetcar could honor that new fare device. And so we really wanted to make sure that we're providing adequate funding to the streetcar system, that it's compensated when that new fare device is established.
Okay, thank you. And then finally, just following up on something that Vicky said, how does making the administrative staff part of Portland Streetcar Inc. save us on overhead?
Because the administrative staff has been a subconsultant to a consultant to Portland Streetcar Inc., and there is a certain amount of overhead that they have to carry to support that particular person. So we are saving those overhead charges.
But then don't we have to pay the overhead charges to Portland Streetcar Inc.?
No, not the same. No, they will have the direct costs and the direct benefits only will be charged to the city.
So moving forward, if I could get some more information about overhead charges with this project, that would be very helpful.
And we'll do that. But just for those listening, we avoid a TriMet overhead charge by making this change?
By moving the superintendents to supervisors, we do that. And that's a very healthy charge.
Yeah, so by moving the employees from TriMet, working for TriMet, to working for Portland Streetcar directly, we save in having to pay as we would charge ourselves if they were working for the city. We save the overhead charges.
Yeah, there are two things going on. There have been administrative personnel who have worked for Shields Oblitz Johnson as a subconsultant, and they will now work directly for Portland Streetcar Inc. And then we have the city supervisors or the superintendents from TriMet, three of them that through attrition, we want those positions all to become city employees, which will again save us some additional overhead monies from TriMet and their administrative costs.
So in addition to this move saves us overhead charges for TriMet and also overhead charges from the consultant.
Yep.
Okay. We'll get you more details.
Yep.
Couple questions.
Thank you.
The full complement of streetcars we need right now is 13, and we have 10. Is that
we have
to get
10
those head to get the headways you were talking about?
To get the 10 cars, we have 10 cars right now, yeah. And if we run those 10 cars, we provide service around 17 or 18 minutes. Mm-hmm. If we can up it to 11, we can improve the service on the west side. We'll have 11 cars, the 11th car certified during the month of July. That's the prototype. And then to move to the 12 to 15 minute service, we need to have 12 cars operating. Now, there's a big assumption behind all of that. We can do that, but we don't have any spares. We really need to wait for the delivery of the cars from Oregon Ironworks so that we have the spares and you can have a more logical, reasonable maintenance program, because right now we'll just work it at night to keep the cars running. And but we've done it before.
Okay. And so you mentioned using the Betsy tax credit to pay for two supervisors. Was that correct? Or two positions at Portland Streetcar?
We're going to use the Betsy credits to add in to the revenue side of our budget.
Okay.
And the first thing we'd like to do is to up the operation to 11 trains with the 38 operators so that we think that the
so
service
the
will be
two additional
better.
Operators. Well, I mean, Betsy tax credits, are those like an ongoing payment or are those one-time?
It's kind of like a one-time deal. We earned the credits over a period of time of over 4 or 5 operating years. Last year, the legislature discontinued the program.
So you're just putting that money into the overall revenue side.
Absolutely.
In order to pay for two additional operators,
yes.
Among other things. And then the fare machines.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say cashless fare machines?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I don't get that because if the fare is a dollar, I mean, there's people like me that like to still pay with quarters.
So there'll be two choices. The onboard streetcar machines, the fare machines that are on every streetcar will still accept cash and coin payment.
Okay.
For those that want to pay at the stations, that'll be a card-only transaction. So you have a choice of if you want to do a cash transaction, that would be onboard the cars, and then cashless would be off.
So what's the reason for going?
Well, it saves us on the collection costs. So rather than needing to go around to all the vehicles, all the stations to collect the revenue,
yeah.
The revenue is transmitted electronically, and then the cash transactions that happen on board the cars are essentially driven home every night to the car barn. We have the potential to change the machines to accept coin in the future if we do want to do that. So I think as we see how things go, we may elect that we want to add that capability.
Yeah, I think it might be interesting just to see how revenue fare behavior is.
Oh, absolutely.
There's so many changes happening over the course of the next year that there's going to be a lot to track in terms of a transition to a full fare system alone is going to be a big transition for our riders. Right?
Yeah, thanks.
Any additional discussion? Anyone wish to testify on this matter? All right, Sue, if you could start working our way through, starting with, I'd ask folks if they could just to save comments till the end, just so that Sue can keep up her momentum.
I have so much I wanted to say, though.
Really?
Well, is that what you're saying?
Can you start with resolution item number 725, call the vote?
725.
Oh, no.
Fish.
Aye.
Osman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 725 approved. 726.
Fish?
Aye.
Sossman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 726 is approved. 727?
Fish?
Aye.
Sossman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 727 is approved. 728?
Fish?
Aye.
Sossman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 720 is approved. 729?
Fish?
Aye.
Sossman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 729 is approved. 730?
Fish?
Aye.
Sossman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 730 is approved. 731?
Fish?
Aye.
Sossman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fish? Fritz?
Aye.
Excuse me? Adams?
It's the HD. It's like radiation. It's interrupting my thoughts. Aye. 731 is approved. 732?
Fish.
Aye. Oh, is this the last one?
This is the last one.
Yeah. Oh, we almost got by you.
And
I was like, yes.
I'm going to trim my remarks. They originally intended to be about 30 minutes. I think I can do this in less.
I'd settle for 30 minutes.
I want to thank,
you've been known as well.
I want to thank PBOT, TriMet, the board of Portland Streetcar, the folks who've come in and briefed us on this before. Thank you for your good work. And this is quite complicated, so I appreciate the hand-holding at the council to make sure we understood this, but really thank you for sticking to it. No one said this was going to be easy. And there are obviously legions of critics, but once this thing is operational, on the east side, I think it's going to be terrific, and not just as a development tool, but also as a transportation option. So thank you for your good work. Aye.
Awesome.
Well, I'd like to thank everybody, too, for good work. Look forward to east side opening September 22nd. Aye.
Leonard.
It has been an absolutely mind-numbingly complicated financial transaction in that you're able to do all that plus to balance the needs of the writers has been remarkable, and I want to appreciate Sam as well in pushing this through. Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you, all three of you, for your work on this project. It is complicated, and I appreciate the attention, especially to looking at the overhead issues and how we can make this the most cost-effective way of providing a very energy-efficient way of transportation. Aye.
Adams.
Well, thanks, Vicki, to your fantastic work of being the, choose your metaphor, Rock of Gibraltar, the hub of the wheel, the tamer of complexity,
the herder of cats,
federal funding, private funding, local funding, capital, operating Betsy credits. This is a 40% expansion in the streetcar trackage, and knits the city together again by streetcar for the first time in, I don't know, 40 some years. So, we'll be back in July, is that right?
Yes.
Back in July with the new longer-term operating agreement with TriMet. This gives us 2 months to do some final scrubbing on that agreement. We'll be making the rounds and airing that out publicly so that we're on firmer long-term footing in our partnership with TriMet. Art, thanks again to the Portland Streetcar. Not only do you help us raise the money, sell tax credits, which are not easy to sell right now. It's you also make sure that the operations are well oversighted, and also to the team, the rest of the team at PBOT. And thank you for all your great work. In addition to doing the trackage, you're helping make sure that the streetcars, the new industry that this city council helped start, is getting off the ground with the best possible quality product. So thank you all very much. All right. That gets us to, can you please read the title and call the vote for item S733.
Establish the Portland Tourism Improvement District to enhance promotion of Portland as preferred destination for meetings, conventions, and leisure travel. Fish.
Mayor, before I just make a comment, I just want to note this is our first day under the HD experiment. And I think I'd be remiss, since each of us looks increasingly pale and sickly, that I do want to do a shout-out to Commissioner Leonard, who has chosen today to wear a new suit for the occasion,
yeah,
powder
he came
blue
prepared.
Tie. He has makeup, his tortoiseshell glasses.
I knew I'd pay for my prior comments.
I think he also looks like he got some sun this weekend in anticipation of this. So, Randy, may I just say you look awfully sharp on this this new setting.
Sharp as in well-groomed, and made up, and powdered.
On the question at hand.
Awful.
Oh yeah, what about that? Dan,
please stay on topic.
Dan, for bringing this forward, I think there was some confusion in the press about this. This is a tax levied on people who are coming and renting rooms here. We've had a significant increase in visitors. This puts us in a competitive position with some other of our sister jurisdictions, other cities on the West Coast. Most importantly, this gives us an additional source of revenue to market Portland. And the goal here is to get even more people to come and make our local economy more vibrant. It seems like a particularly thoughtful way of getting at that. But it also puts us in line with other cities that are doing this already. And as you noted in the presentation last week, are actually advertising in our own city that we should be going to visit their city. So turnabout's fair play. Thanks for bringing this forward, and I'm pleased to support it. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank Matt Grum in my office, the Revenue Bureau, Travel Portland, and, you know, most important, the hoteliers, who virtually were unanimous in coming together to say we want to, you know, in essence, tax ourselves to create about $6 million a year to specifically market Portland as a destination for leisure or business, and to keep us competitive. And as we all know through our last budget process, hotel, motel revenue taxes are, you know, as I said last week, truly the bright spot in our revenue picture. Those revenues are going up dramatically, I think 10% last year alone. So tourism is, and the hotel industry and all the spinoff businesses that related to tourism and conventions and cultural tourism are all job generators, and they're good careers for people. And this is going to be opening more doors for more jobs in those industries by this improvement district. Please to vote aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
This is a tax on visitors to the larger hotels as an exemption for hotels of less than 50 beds. And I think that when the visitors get to Portland, they will be more than happy to pay that tax and be glad that they have been lured here to see the benefits of our beautiful city and the wonderful experience they can have here. Over the 3.5 years that I've been on the council, I am particularly impressed by Travel Portland and the hospitality industry at the thoughtfulness and diligent approach towards both providing a great visitor experience and also providing services and benefits for the citizens of Portland through generating economic benefits far and wide. And this particular tax also works, again, with the Visitor Development Fund Board and the hotels in East County as well as those in Portland, and made sure that the benefits and the impacts are fairly apportioned. So it's a, I think it's an excellent program. I look forward to it generating more visitors to our beautiful city. Aye.
Adams.
I want to thank Commissioner Saltzman for his and his team for his leadership on this. I think it will have a huge benefit to our and improve our competitive advantage in marketing for individual leisure travel and also business travel, and just the general visibility of the city that will be to the benefit of the visitor industry. The ease in which you were able to pull this off is really remarkable. But I know that although you made it look easy, it took a lot of work, and I want to thank you. Aye. We're in recess until tomorrow.
Yeah. I know. I smell.